Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum to you, dear believers. Welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday again, and you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360. And we will get started with our program, and we always open our program with Al-Fatiha. So we will get started first in Arabic and then in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And we are saying in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Amen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We'd like to thank you, everyone, for being here with us this evening. And I am your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. We will bring her in as soon as she presses one and is in the queue to get started. So if you've been listening to the program for the last, I would say, 4 weeks, we've been presenting on getting married later in life. Getting married later in life. Many times when we talk about getting married, we're thinking about the younger generation and that first wedding and that first marriage, that first nikah, young couple starting out in life. Well, older couples have new starts, inshallah. And it could be because you become a widow and you're going to remarry. You had a divorce at one point and you've waited a while and now you want to remarry and it's later in life. You know, what does that look like? How does that work? And many times, for those who got married way back in the day, circumstances have somewhat changed when it comes to meeting and getting to know a potential spouse. Because back in the day, many people got married and married people that they knew growing up or in the neighborhood or in their environment, in school or college. A friend introduced them. So it was simpler. We're talking way back in the day, back in the 50s, around that time period. Life was simpler then, and circumstances for meeting someone was much different then. But I'm going to take a pause and bring in our co-host, who's with us now. And assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show, Sister Bina.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apologies. Technical difficulties again. I pressed one and it just didn't do anything, so I had to go out and come back in.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I had a few myself, so oh, praise be to Allah. We overcome difficulties. That's what we do.
Yes,
so we're happy you're with us now. You know, and yeah, just giving a little, alhamdulillah, just giving a little intro. Getting married later in life may look different now in 2023 than it did when you first married. So for the past about 4 weeks, we've been going over means, what it looks like to get married later in life, especially now when we are a community that is spread out across the country, and there may or may not be a good male-female ratio in our particular age group where you are, then you're going to look in other locations to try and find a mate. And so we've been going over that and doing somewhat of a refresher and also sharing some information as to what it may look like now in 2023 and things that have to be considered when marrying later in life. So we had a very interesting show last week when calls on everything dealing with the Maher and having a Wali mediation. So we had a different range of topics that we did discuss last week. But what we've talked about so far on this particular topic is getting married later in life, is why get married later in life. And should an older couple have a Wali? And what happens if the Wali gives a go-ahead? What now? And that means that this person has been vetted, male or female, they have been vetted, and the Wali has given a go-ahead, okay, that you're safe to proceed. What now? How do we navigate that? And one thing that we did talk about at this stage is very, very important to be your authentic self. And please note that during all of these steps, you know, you have prayed your istikhara prayer and you sought Allah's guidance and you asked Allah for a mate that Allah is pleased with for you. And continue that istikhara prayer and continue seeking Allah's guidance. But when that Wali gives the go-ahead, it's the time to be your authentic self, because this is the only way you're going to be able to check and see if the necessary ingredients to share a life with someone is really present. If you go in with a mask on, then the relationship basically is not real. So you have to be your authentic self, show who you are, let the person see who you are, let your guards down, and vice versa. And you're checking to see if the necessary ingredients to share a life are present. And we suggest using the premarital questionnaire so you can stay focused and grounded and have the streamlined conversation that you need. And look at the things that are very important. And so we look at the seven C's, which is the chemistry, the compassion, the compatibility. Is there care there? Those things are on the premarital questionnaire. So we look at all seven of them, especially the compatibility and the caring and the compassion, you know, the chemistry. They're all important, all seven of them. The communication is vital. Being able to communicate, and the communication flows well, that you're really communicating, not talking past each other or around each other, but actually communicating and connecting in communication, okay? And that the compatibility is strong, and the determination, commitment is one of the C's as well. The determination to be in a committed relationship is there. And that each person talks about subjects that are important to them. This is a very good time to do that, to gain insight into the other person. For instance, if it's very important for one of the intended spouses, if privacy is very important, these are things that should be discussed. What's very important to you that could really cause an issue in a relationship? This is when you talk about these things. So you don't wait for you don't wait for a mistake to be made in those areas, in those vital areas, before a problem can develop. You get ahead of it, and you talk about these things, the important issues, the things that are important to you in a marriage. talking about how you were raised and your family culture is also very good. Talk about your relationships with money and finances, your relationships with your family, your adult children, grandchildren, and about how you give and receive love. Okay, so you see, these are very substantive topics. I mean, you can talk politics or whatever you want to talk about, but will that help you get to know a person, you know, unless you just want to know if they're a Trump supporter or not, you know. But even things that would cause you a problem, even if it's along those lines, you want to talk about it during this time. This is the time of discovery, the time where you really get to discover. This is where this level of intimacy begins to build between two people, and you let your guards down, and you really give this relationship a chance, inshallah. So it's a very important part of the courtship process. And then we get past that step, and if an offer for marriage is made and you accept it, then you go to the next step, which is, as a seasoned older person who's lived a life, you've accumulated things. Now, what happens with all that you've accumulated? Okay, how can we share our lives together? How are we going to blend our combined accumulative assets to share a life together? So we recommend it that don't wait until you get to that point, but start now organizing, downsizing, getting rid of things you don't need, putting everything in order, including your will, your trust, your legal affairs. Start getting all that ready now. Don't wait until you meet someone. You know, be prepared. Get ahead of the game and be prepared. And this will not only help during the marriage process, but this will help when we transition. You know, we would have done this and our children won't have to do it. And our spouses that are left won't have to do it. Affairs are in order. Paperwork is in order. You know, the story of your life is right there for them to see if you want to get that detailed about it. All right. And then you can go into this process already prepared and know whether it's best for your particular situation, if you want to relocate, if you can relocate, if you want to leave your home, if you can't leave your home, if you want to share a life between two locations. This can help really dictate the terms of sharing a life with someone and living in one location or the other, or moving away or staying where you are. And we also discussed family needs, family visits, family financial assistance, emotional assistance, family possibly coming to live with you if perchance the parents of one of you is still alive and they need to come live with you. Is that going to be okay? Is it going to be okay to turn an extra room into a place for a family member who needs medical help rather than putting them in a facility or nursing home? Have those discussions, how you can help elder family members and younger family members, and what is acceptable, what is not acceptable with you. And should an older person expect a dower? And the answer to that is yes. Okay. And Bina, would you like to add anything? Are you on mute, Bina? Are you on mute? We can't hear you. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, she might have stepped.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. No, there's really nothing to add. You're covering it all in terms of what folks should do. And, I mean, there's a whole a list of things that they could do as well. They could have their own list when it comes to having those particular talks each other about what type of person they are, what they expect in a marriage. And it's good to say what you expect so a person can know, oh, well, maybe her expectations are a little bit too high for me or I can't take care of that type of situation. A guy needs to know if you're high maintenance, if you're not high maintenance, if you're willing to downsize, if a person is not high maintenance like that, or how they care about different things, how you celebrate, do you travel to your family, do you travel, do your family members come to you? There's so many things that you could talk about in that process when you do get the okay from the Wali. Another thing I'm a single too is a very good way of getting to know a person in their authentic selves, because it's very, very difficult when you really like someone to just really let it all hang out. But if you if you like go out with friends that you know, and they know how you are, and they can and you all can go out and your potential spouse could see how you react with your friend, and you might think you might be hiding something or whatever, but your friends will call you out on it. Your real friends, they'll call you out, and that'll give your potential male or female to see how you react in different situations. I mean, really react. Those are things that I was thinking about as you were speaking, just some extra things to go along with that process.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Bina, because even if you say you meet their friends, they're going to have stories of things that happened in the past and things that they've gone through. And this can give these stories are wonderful. They can give you insight into how a person's lived, how a person maybe has reacted to certain situations and things like that. So that's a very good idea to go around friends and their families. And families always are going to have stories to tell of things that happen all the way from childhood all the way up. So listening to those stories are important too.
Absolutely. And a lot of times you're not going to be, okay, when we're seasoned, that means we probably had relationships prior to. So, you know, people don't really want to get into those things because that's in the past, that's who they were, blah, blah, blah. But it's good to really talk about, well, what was it that you think went wrong in that situation where it's no longer, you know, a situation you're in, and ask, you know, whether that, what that other person thinks, because there are going to be two sides to the story. And, of course, the person doing the talking going to say that they were the angel in the situation and not really give you all the good stuff. But if you have the opportunity, and I think we're, as seasoned people, we're in a good place, and we should be in an adult enough place to be able to speak to the previous spouse, and you know, as long as that, and that previous spouse, you can, you know, they can be clued or talked to in the beginning to say, well, we don't really want to get into the dirt of it, but if you can just honestly say, you know, what was going on, and that, I mean, both people can be present. It doesn't matter, and it shouldn't matter. If you've got that kind of a relationship where you can go back and talk to the person that you used to be with, it would be great to be able to find out, well, what was going on? What was the situation? It would be good. I mean, why not? Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you're not comfortable as a person doing that, that's one thing you can talk to your Wali about. Well, this person was married to this person or that person. Can you contact them and possibly, you know, gain some insight into,
yes.
what happened? Why did the marriage fail? Because, like you said, there's always two sides. There's a his side, mm-hmm. a her side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, you know. So we want to find the truth. But one thing about truth is it stands out clear from falsehood, and truth adds up. Truth adds up and comes to a conclusion. The questions are answered, and there's a finality with truth, you know. So, and we pray our istikhara prayer, and we ask Allah, you know, that if this is good for me, please make it easy. Please make it easy for us. If this situation is not good for me, please turn it away from me, you know. And we continue to make that prayer. We continue to seek Allah's guidance, you know, and we do the best we can. Because truth is, you're never going to know someone 100%. And we're not meant to. We're not meant to know someone 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to know us 100%, you know. But who can you share your life with? Who can you share your life with and enjoy your life and build a good life with? You know, this is what we are looking and searching for. Who do you care enough about that if you wanted to be a benefactor for that person, that you would do that? You would do that and be happy to be a benefactor for this person if you had to, and share your life with them, and they a benefactor for you, and share what they have with you. Share your knowledge and wisdom with you. Do you see yourself helping someone to be a better person and them helping you to be a better person? Is that chemistry there? And that's one of the C's called cathexis. Cathexis, where you're both invested in each other in a way to help improve the other person, to help the other person get better, to encourage the other person. Khadija, Mother Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her and reward her with paradise. She was invested in Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And when he came to her and thinking that he had seen something that he didn't see, questioning his own sanity and trembling because he received the first revelation, she was so invested in him and his character that not for one minute did she think that there was something wrong with him, you know. And she was invested in his goodness, so she knew that something had happened and helped him seek out a answer from her uncle, who identified the situation that Prophet Muhammad had received revelation. So this type of cathexis and energy and exchange between each other, where you are invested in each other's success and invested in each other's well-being, that should be present. You should see this in the courtship process. So knowing to look out for these types of things will help us make the best decision we can make by not knowing someone 100% as to who we can marry and have a good marriage, a good life, a good relationship with, inshallah. And prior to this, we did a presentation on trauma. And we have, especially as African Americans, we have had trauma. And there's that presentation taught us that there was small trauma and big trauma. We can identify the big traumas. you know. But the small traumas are traumas that have happened consistently over long periods of time. So we know as African Americans that we have had trauma. In addition to that, whatever has happened in your life that is a trauma that causes you to react in a certain way to different situations, you know, those things have to be addressed and by the person, because Allah knows and you know what those traumas are. Those things have to be addressed, and we have to do our best to manage and get over them. In previous broadcasts, we talked about a process for doing that. And if you like that information, you can email us at halaqa, H-A-L-A-Q-A, 360, at yahoo.com, and we'll be happy to get that information to you and the links to those episodes. So talking about those things, this is why we say talking about how you were raised and different things like that, you know, let a person know what those traumas are. And I was listening to NPR last week, I believe, and the health care the doctor, the counselor, was working with different people with trauma and how trauma affects you on your job. And she got this epiphany. She didn't know. She said she was not an African-American until she had to help an African-American person. And discovering that this African-American person was dealing with constant racism on the job. And, you know, she had an epiphany like, well, that's trauma, you know, like dealing on the receiving end of racism in situations over periods of time is actually trauma in and of itself. Okay, so we deal with a lot, and we process a lot, and we keep working, and we keep moving, and we go through a lot, but how are those things affecting us, and how have we been shaped by those things? So looking into ourselves and healing from those traumas is very important, and that's part of our preparation for marriage, things that we work on together. You know, so that we work on with ourselves, and then we discuss them together, okay? Because only we can know how to pray to Allah to help us with whatever we've gone through and whatever our traumas are, you know, to release any pain that we have, you know, and can accumulate over time. But, you know, we always just keep going. You know, but especially if you've been in relationships and these traumas have followed you from one relationship to another, it's time to stop and deal with them and put them to bed. You know, we want to release them on this side of the dirt, not carry them into the grave with us, you know, and we pray Allah will help us to do that. But having a process to do that is very important. And again, we can email that information to you because it's a lot to go into to try and recap it. So we'd be happy to email that out to you. And so this is what we've talked about so far in the presentations. Bina, did you want to add anything else before we go to break?
Something I was thinking about when you were saying that, talking about but I lost my train of thought, so.
Okay.
We did talk about also taking our past into our future relationships, because sometimes when we run away from them, we're running away from ourselves, when we're carrying ourselves into the next relationship. So, and yeah, that's what kind of got me on that train of thought when we were talking about that, that if you don't take care of those traumas, that you can carry them into the next relationship, and that might be the thing that might, you know, what is this, screw up your next one, or that's not the word I was looking for, because it's another word I was looking at. It could stop your next relationship from going forward, and then, you know, you got to start all over in another relationship, and then before time goes by, enough time goes by, then you're ready to leave that situation because things are not going maybe the way that you hope. Then it's time to, like, look at what's going on with you. Maybe that's got triggers. That what's triggering you? What is causing that action to have you not, you know, to stop and not proceed, go forward, stay committed? You know, if the person is not doing something against what Allah has said, or maybe it's just something you just like, you got to look and see, well, what is it, and what do I need to do to change within myself to be able to continue a relationship? The man, Allah made the man for the woman and the woman for the man, and basically, unless you're so incompatible, there's that work that you put into your other half of the deen after your marriage being your first half or your one half of it, the work that you have to put in to maintain that marriage is, you know, the other half. And what is it that's stopping you from, and like you said last week, which was so beautiful, that you got to keep pushing and stop running away because, you know, your the sunshine could be and your reward could be right on the other side of that, but you never get to it because you never get far enough to see what that blessing is.
Exactly. Alhamdulillah. And that blessing is your reward for persevering and your and passing the test. Because if we look at a problem as something that needs a solution, a problem is something that needs a solution. And a problem is something that we face and we solve to get past. And if we don't do that, then that's a hurdle that's still there waiting. And you have to get past it because it's a part of your development. And so when we pass those hurdles and we get over those hurdles, you know, there's a reward there, you know. There is growth and development there. But when we turn around and go the other way, we got to run right back up to that hurdle and try to get across it again. You know, so we want to look at problems as something that we solve, inshallah, so that we can gain the wisdom and the reward and the benefit of doing so. And pass that lesson on to future generations as well, inshallah. Okay, so we're at the bottom of our first, well, past the bottom of our first hour. So we're going to take a pause for the pause. And you are listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil, and our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, is also here with us. And we're right here on the number one radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Okay, so please stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And again, I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Umar, and our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we thank you for being here with us this evening, and we look forward to you sharing your wisdom and insights on the topics that we are discussing tonight. So, in addition to what we've talked about so far, we also talked about the financial aspects of coming together later in life. And then we'll try and wrap up this presentation on tonight's show. And what we left off with, I'll just do a brief overview of the topics that we did discuss regarding the five financial things to consider before marrying later in life. And we found this article on the internet. And it is entitled just that, Five Financial to Consider Before Marrying Later in Life. And we talked about combining finances after marriage. And older couples have a lot to consider. If you've invested in a home and property and retirement accounts and things of that nature, a lot to consider on how you're going to organize your affairs and combine finances after marriage. And we talked about the need to update tax and filing information, including Social Security, depending on how you're going to share your life together, or you're going to combine finances. You don't have to. What's best for you as a couple. These conversations should take place. And we talked about estate planning with a new spouse. And that means getting the wills and life insurance policies and retirement accounts and beneficiaries and all of those things. Those discussions will take place as well. And we also talked about prenuptial agreements. Now, and again, each couple is different, but have these conversations and have a plan for how these transactions will take place, prenuptial agreements. There's a Western term, but for us, it's the marriage contract. Don't get married without one. Have a marriage contract and check into the state laws and the states that you have property in the state that you're going to be living in. check into the state laws and looking at trust and wills, medical, the person who can give a do not resuscitate if you don't want to be resuscitated, all of these things. You got to think about all these things, right? Because we are later in life, you know, and most of us have more years behind us than ahead of us. So you just want to be prepared. Take care. Healthcare proxies is the term I was looking for. Your medical powers of attorney and healthcare proxies. We want to make sure that these affairs are in order. Rights of survivorship rights on Social Security, all of these things should be looked at. And Bina, you made a very important suggestion last week that I would like to review this week, is that, you know, it is best to get an attorney beforehand to go over the marriage contract together with and make sure that each person is protected legally and financially. Because, you know, you go ahead and state opinion on this, Bina. I don't want to speak for you.
Oh, well, I mean, really, that kind of says it all. We don't really like to deal with attorneys, you know, because what I've read in Sister Nadir's book, she was an attorney. P. Anissa Nadir has a daughter, and she's an attorney, and I read her book, and she was saying that the legally savvy people have an attorney all the time. You know, always have one on hand, a number that they can call when something goes down. And legally savvy people don't have to be rich. Although it has been in the past, the people who have had lots of money that could possibly retain a lawyer, an attorney, for when things do happen. But just because things do happen and you don't know what they're going to be, it's always good to have one on hand. So just a number that you can call, even if something is going on, if you get stopped by the police or whatever or anything like that, we don't deal with those situations every day. We're not attorneys. We do whatever profession we do on a regular basis, and attorneys do what they do on every day. So you want to deal with the pros in any situation. So getting an attorney or getting a legal advice prior to anything you end up doing is a great suggestion because, I mean, at least you know the ins and outs of it without any emotion involved. And that's kind of like what attorneys are. They tell you the facts. They tell you what can happen, what will happen, and what is not going to happen when it comes to the law, and we go into it just guessing. So just so we are, as she calls it, legally savvy, and that's the name of her book, you want to have an attorney on hand all the time where they can just you can just speak to them and they can review any type of documents you have because your contract is a legal document, really. It is. Once you sign it and your spouse signs it, it's a contract. Now, whether you get it notarized or not, that's a contract between you, that person, and Allah. But and we as Muslims know that we're supposed to honor all our contracts. But having that legal contract, being able to speak to an attorney, it gives you a little more edge. You know what you can expect and what's not to be expected, and then you can make a much better decision. It doesn't mean that you don't trust the other person. It just means you can make a better decision. And especially like when you're talking about combining finances, then talking to a person who deals with money, an accountant, can tell you, the person that you go to do your taxes with, they could let you know what's a better situation in our situation based on this, that, and the other, because no two people's situations are the same. So you can't listen to somebody else say what they did, because everybody's situation is different and individual. So getting your own advice is definitely something that would be a plus, so that you can make a good decision going forward.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So we're going to go to our phone lines. We have a caller in the queue, and we had a caller at the end of the show last week who didn't get a chance to ask their question or make their comments. Please, if you're listening, please press 1 and come into the queue so that you can ask the question or make the comment that you wanted to make last week, if you jotted it down or if you remember. Okay, so now it's a good time to press 1. So we're going to go to the caller that is in the queue, and that's 910-527. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam. How are you doing, Sister Lizzy?
Alhamdulillah.
Co-host.
Good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I thought I heard somebody call my name, so I pressed 1.
So yes, tell us your name, and we can tell you who called your name.
She said her tax person.
Okay, your tax person. Yes, sir. Always welcome.
So
the tax man is always welcome.
I thought that was my cue. I don't know.
Alhamdulillah.
Ben is correct. When you deal with terms, there's laws, and we live in a country that has laws, and we also are part of a religion that has laws, the rules, regulations. So you know, you're talking about two aspects that needs to be considered. One. We refer to the Book of Allah in the Quran, which gives us our do's and don'ts, things that we should do and shouldn't do, right? So that is Allah. We have some knowledge of what Allah requires of us. And then we live in a country that has certain laws that have to be obeyed. And alhamdulillah, there's not a great amount of laws that dictates how we live our religion or has a conflict on how we live our religion. And even I've been in situations where it might have been something between Muslims that the judge really doesn't want to interfere, right? Or the issue, rulers that will interfere with us violating our faith. So it's good to see that there is some sensitivity in the legal venue here in America that doesn't try to override our religion, as long as what we do, living within our religion, does not override the laws of this country. And that's one thing to consider. I think a lot of times people don't want to deal with the laws of the country, because they think that the laws are going to override our faith, and I think very few laws that would override our faith in that regard. So, so I agree with being said that we need to consider that. And then when you the last part is that where is the enforcement, right? Where is the enforcement in our faith? Now, there's very little enforcement other than maybe shame, maybe, but some Muslims, what the Prophet Muhammad said, if you feel no shame, do as you please. Some Muslims don't feel any shame, so in that regard, but to have a successful marriage, I think we try to live by the dictates of our faith, it would add to the success of our marriage. So I agree with what Bina said.
Alhamdulillah. So I'd like to ask a question. Do you come in contact with people who married later in life and now they're trying to figure out their taxes and things like that? Do you ever see that? Is it an issue or does it run smoothly? Or
no, you have people that don't even necessarily have to be late in life. I have a saying with them. I say, you know, I say, when you say I do, then you do. Because they want to steal, you know, they might want to steal a file single. You understand? But that's what the law says. If you're married, legally married, according to the courts of the land, then you only have two options, marriage, file, and joint, or marriage, file, and separate, right?
Yeah.
Those are the only options you have. It's not, well, single, head of household, you know, maybe the sister has some dependent children and she can file head of household and get the earned income credit and all these things. So that's probably the biggest argument that they have in front of me. You know, I'm trying to be the arbiter on their tax situation. But when I hear the sister, I knew I shouldn't have married you. Usually she said that when she didn't get the $3,000 refund that she did the year before, right?
Okay.
But I said, when you do, you know, you can't. That's not a choice. So that's one thing that should be considered. Maybe before, if you just so in love with that $3,000 or $4,000 and don't think that your husband is going to bring that kind of value to the situation, then maybe you shouldn't get married.
You know? Right.
But yeah, there's all kind of things that should be at least be made aware of before they try to not that things are changing. And you might want to do, you know, might want to prepare for this change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be so in love with the refund that you got, because I'm sure that your husband brought more than $3,000 or $4,000 to the table when you got married. You know, you can't have it both ways. You know,
both ways, yeah.
Or as my English lit teacher told me in high school. She used to always say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Whatever that means.
Yeah. I've heard that saying as well. Okay.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for your insights and calling in and sharing your wisdom with us this evening. And so now we
don't
know
let them off.
That,
let's not let them off.
Okay. Okay.
because I have a comment and I have a question too. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I know in our marriage, mine and Adam's, we really didn't have those kind of conversations about finances, who would pay this or who would pay that. It was because you can't do this. You can't get married without having every one of those conversations. But I think the thing for me in our relationship was that I had that trust in him. Mm-hmm. The things that I saw in him prior to marriage made me trust.
I'm on the phone, but
Okay. The
Go
things
ahead.
In our marriage made me trust that he would do those things without us having that conversation. So, so when he showed me this big laptop and said, oh, here, you can use this, I'd never really used a laptop to do anything financial. I was like, oh, okay. So he has technical information. He's smart, okay? Then he says, oh, let me take you and make a copy or something or whatever, but we ended up going over to his office. And I look at it, I go in this office, and it's huge, Manir. I'm like, this is bigger than, like, most apartments. It's like different sections and all that. And I'm like, all this is yours? And I know as a business person or self-business, self-person in this, self-employed person, what it is to have a brick and mortar. I know you got the electricity to pay, you got the water bill, you got to, you know, you got to pay the rent at the place. So I know what this, that, what that calls for. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at, well, he looks like he can be able to take care of me because he has his brick and mortar. So I'm looking at things, and I'm not asking any questions. I'm just assuming by what I see. But we never had these questions. So that's what I looked at. I looked at the fact that he could, I trust that he could do that. If he was pursuing and he was asking, this is what he desired, and he felt like he could manage this because we never had this conversation. He never said anything to me about it. And I looked and saw that, yes, he looked like he can handle it because he can handle that. But I want to know, and the last question is to him, is how did he know without having those conversations, we're talking about financial, that I was a person who could or could not be financially stable or
responsible,
you know, right, or I have tax problems. We never had that conversation. So I want to know, and that question is to him, is what is it that he saw without us having that conversation that made him comfortable enough to pursue the marriage?
Yes, Brother Adam, are you there? Are you on mute? You might have muted your phone. If you're on mute, we can't hear you. Okay. So, his phone had dropped, so he's back. So here he is. So we'll, are you there? Assalamu alaikum. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Sorry about that. Some of that was inshallah. That was some of it. No, but
Alhamdulillah.
The time I visited Chicago and kind of I was awake and alert, and I saw what it was, and I feel comfortable. You know, if you're willing to come down, I feel comfortable that we can take care of stuff. So.
Alhamdulillah. So in traveling to Chicago, you saw how her life was organized, how she handled things, just like she saw your office and how you handled things. And the fruit was there from that tree.
Yeah, and also, in full disclosure, my office is a Dollar Tree not far from my office. So came by, went through Dollar Tree to get something. Oh, hold on. You came by to get something. Sorry, I'm down by this store. They opened up this halal store right by the house business. So I was trying to.
Oh, it's open.
It's open now, but I was parked out front, and then they start leaving, so they came to the car. Anyway, so we went to the Dollar Tree. And I was talking, and one of the customers, an old African-American lady, came up to me and says, I heard your voice before. Are you Adam? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and I used to be on local radio stations. I listen to you every week. Right. And that kind of impressed me also. I had to give the lady a tip for that one.
Brownie points.
Yeah, brownie points. For that one.
Okay. No,
I know me, and I know what I was willing to do, and I did not look for anything from her to do what I had to do as a husband. I didn't look for anything. I wasn't relying on anything from her. All right. And it also helped that she didn't have this big appetite that I had to fulfill. You know what I mean? So so it kind of worked out. And it kind of worked out. Here we are today. And she talked about my office because she does sister locks, right? So she was looking for a place to have her business. And she went to an African locks place, African braiding place, and she hated that. So one day she said that she came by the office and said she's going to look for a new place. And I said, okay. So she went around the shopping area we were, and then she came back and went back in the back of the office, and I heard somebody moving some stuff. And she said she found her place. I said, where? She said, back there. So you come and get your taxes done up front.
It
gets your sister locks in the back, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, like those gas stations, you go in and they have two different things on the side. Like they got a Taco Bell on this side and a Subway on the other side. I think that's a great business. I think those are great. I think that's... people should do things like that. That makes sense. So, yeah.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, so it worked out. And she trusts with, you know, I mean, she knows I'm an accountant, so, and Allah's blessed my business even since then to expand. And it provides enough income for me to provide for my family and support my master kid and do some other things that we do. It provides income for that. And alhamdulillah, thank Allah that Allah allows that to happen. So it worked out. And I'm not trying, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, whatever. And I think she knows that. And we make things work out.
Alhamdulillah. And they work out because you're willing to do the work. It's not magical, you know.
No, it's not.
It's magical in a little bitty sense, but it's the work that makes it work out.
Right. And there's the eye in the Quran that I like. And searching this estimation, where Allah talks about the land that yields a lot of vegetables and foliage or whatever. And Allah says, man, if light rain falls, light rain suffices. You familiar with that?
So
if it doesn't get an abundance of rainfall, then light rain suffices. And I try to keep my spirit in that, you know. The way the light rain suffices, there's two ways. One, I don't have a materialistic appetite any more than what Allah gives me.
I try to maintain that.
And that's why I think that's why I love that particular eye in the Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Well, this has been very interesting because what happened, there's a part of communication called observation. And I think we overlook sometimes how important observation is. It's what you observe and that's a form of communication, you know, of what you're seeing, what you're taking in, what you're observing, you know, how a person has managed, how a person handles things, the level of responsibility the person has, you see it. And that is a very important part of communication, which is why we should have time to observe each other. And it's good that you went to Chicago and she came to Carolina,
Fayetteville,
Carolina, to to you. This exchange was very, very crucial and very important, you know, because a picture is worth a thousand words, you know. Mm-hmm. So that observation aspect is dynamic and is very important part of communication. And it should definitely happen during courtship.
Yes, ma'am. We did not know that that was really a part of the courtship, but if that was in meeting, I was able to also, well, we had the event where we met down at the masjid, and I was also able to see how others respected and treated Brother Adam and the comments mm-hmm. that they shared prior to, because that was just on the first visit. That's what I witnessed. So I just kind of saw the rapport he had, the activities he had, how involved he was in the masjid, and that gave me an idea more than anything, any other conversation we really could have had. Or if I wanted to know how it went, I pretty much got my questions answered there. So, that observation is very important. Very important, you know. And when people are not, when you're really not even paying attention, because at that time when I was observing it, that was not my interest. But to reflect back on it, I was able to see that afterwards, and it was one of the things that helped in making decisions later on.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so those things, they do stay on your brain. You know, they come back when you need them. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Our mind, we take it all in on a subconscious mm-hmm. level and a conscious mm-hmm. level, and it's just right there to be replayed. So all praises to Allah. A magnificent machine Allah has created in the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that we only use 10% of it, you know. So all praises due to Allah, Most High. But we thank you all for sharing your story and your insights on how you met and some of the decision-making processes that took place. And as Bina said, you may not have a conversation about every single thing on that list, but if not a conversation, there should be some observation. And you have to pencil in what is important for you to know. What is important for you to know? And the things that you feel you have covered, you know, you have it covered. You know, so what else is there that needs to be known and discovered about your potential mate? You know, very important to have an idea of what those things are. You know, so we just don't go forward without a plan or charting a course that is sustainable. Yeah. So alhamdulillah. Callers, if you have any questions or comments, press 1 and come into the queue. We'd love to hear from you as well right here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. Okay. We don't have any takers at this time. Okay, so we'll proceed with our program. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls, and we're going to be right back with you after these public service announcements. So please stick and stay, and I will be right back with you after the commercial breaks.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad the Prophet was born in Mecca, the holiest city to Islam in Arabia, in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or one out of every five people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi. 30% of Muslims live in the Indian subcontinent, 20% in sub-Sahara Africa, 17% in Southeast Asia, 18% in the Arab world, 10% in the states of the former Soviet Union or Russia. There is a significant Muslim population in China, Latin America, and Australia. Aren't all Arabs Muslim? No.
Alhamdulillah. And we are back, and you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And we heard a wonderful story right before the break. If you missed it, you're going to have to go to the archives and listen to the show in its entirety and pick up on this particular story. And the information that we got from that is that observation is very, very important. During the courtship process, looking at how one respects other people, how one is respected, the esteem that people around the person holds them, you know, their level or contribution to the community life, okay? All of these things are part of the observations that you make during the courtship process when you're getting to know someone. And it's very important. I remember when I was courting Brother Imam DeLacy Umar, we'd be on the phone talking. And, you know, I hear a knock on the door and someone stopping by, oh, I thought you might like this, and they're bringing him food. And things like that. So, because he was, he's a widow. And so the community was taking care of him and bringing him food, making sure he was eating and just doing things. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. You know, it reminded me of how I used to see my parents and their family and friends treating each other. You know, I cooked this. I just thought you'd like this and bring it by. And the community aspect of things. And then the same thing when I came down to visit, I met so many people who just love DeLacy and his involvement in the community and his work in the community and outside of the community, and it's a long history of that. So this is a part of the observation that makes you feel like, okay, I'm safe with this person. There's some stability here. You know, so looking for that and knowing that those things will help you in the decision-making process. So don't take that lightly. You know, take it all in and really get to know the person. Feel the person out. Dealing with someone's sensitivities as well. I found that, you know, especially after you get married and you are in the same space together, you will start to kind of bounce off each other more. So learning to navigate each other's sensitivities during that particular time is very important as well. Now we're talking about after the nikah, you know, so the learning process continues, but it's magnified and it's accelerated because you're in the same space all the time, you know, so it becomes more of a fluid process when engaging and getting to know someone. But the thing to remember during this process is that we are in charge of our own happiness and our success in the marriage relationship, and we're building something. Now, we can build something beautiful, or we can patch something up, you know, but it depends on the efforts that we put into the relationship. If you want to build something beautiful, you know, we follow the example of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And we treat each other in a way that Prophet Muhammad taught us to treat each other in his example. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And that's to lead with love and kindness, mercy and compassion, and to always try and elevate a person in their deen and encourage them to become a better Muslim or Muslima. You know, the Prophet Muhammad made sure all his wives were educated in the religion. And he taught them the Quran and the religion. And in turn, they taught the community. So this type of engagement to help, and this is going back to this cathexis again, to help elevate one to a better position in life, to a better understanding, to a better insight, to a closer relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is the paradise that we build for ourselves right here on earth. And it's totally up to us how we handle that. And that's going to be based on what we strive for. And Allah has told us we will get what we strive for. We will get what we strive for as believers. So we are very capable of creating and sustaining with Allah's help and with the blessings of Allah, healthy, lasting, and happy marriage relationships. You know? But like Brother Adam says, a lot of that is inshallah. A lot of that is inshallah. And we trust in Allah. We seek Allah's help. We seek Allah's guidance. And Allah has already let us know that this is his institution that he has created. And he has created it for us to dwell together in peace, love, and tranquility. So Allah will help us with this. Allah wants this for us. He will help us with this. Allah will help us with this. But we have to be willing to do this work and make it count. Try to make every day count. And I'm not being so naive as to think we're not going to have problems or anything like that. We are going to have problems, but a problem is something we have to face and fix, move past it, and keep going until the next one comes along and repeat those processes over and over again. And inshallah, we get closer together, we grow, and we develop into better human beings, better Muslims, and we enjoy our life and build legacy that we can leave to those that come behind us, inshallah. So that's my soapbox, and I'm going to step down.
No, you're doing an excellent job.
I'd like to know if you have thoughts on these topics. I mean, sometimes, you know, I appreciate your story because you made it very, it wasn't complex in you all coming together. it was not a complex thing at all. And when people, I think when people listen to the programs and everything, and we talk about all the things that you should look at and discuss and things like that, it might seem like it's a lot, you know, but mm-hmm. it really isn't. It really isn't, and you see through your example that just about all the things we've talked about were included in your process.
And we never had to take a class. Right. You never had to take a class.
Right.
You never really had to get all those things, but it was a combination of how Allah created us and mm-hmm. our experiences, because Allah created for man and woman to be together. So, mm-hmm. you know, we just in, and I believe in doing the things that Allah asks of us to do, the natural things that we do to learn and progress, and the things that we do to please our Lord, He gives us the tools that we need. Even when we don't know it, He's giving them to us, you know. So by way of, even if it is going way back and remembering somebody else's situation or whatever, the tools are there. He's giving them in our like you say, subconscious mind. The examples mm-hmm. that we see in front of us, we're getting those examples. So we're putting these things together. He's helping us to, as you say, put the puzzle together. And it really comes down to, do you really want this? Because Allah will give you anything you ask. He answers every supplicant. And mm-hmm. anything you ask for, Allah will give it to you. So you have to really be careful about what you ask Allah for, because He will give it to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that what it is that you ask for, there are going to be some positives and some negatives that go along with that. So if you do get what Allah asks you for, then you have to be prepared for those other things that go along with it that you just never really looked at, maybe never even thought about, but those are part of it too, because Allah says He's not going to put, He didn't put you here, or don't think that He would not put you here without testing you. So it's like, how bad do you want this? Do you really want this? So,
yes,
it's a, I wouldn't say it's a game, but life is interesting and it's exciting if you make it that way. If you look at it in that perspective, that is not something that's a hardship. It's really not. Life is not a hardship unless we make it a hardship. Allah has given everything to us. He's given us all the tools. So if we're having hardships, we really have to look within ourselves about, you know, why. Because that's not what Allah wants for us. So, the tools are in us.
And I think,
I was just going to say, in this process, you make it a system. There's a system to go about it. If a person is looking for a system, they don't know a system, they don't have any way, they don't know which way to go, then praise be to Allah. It's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah. That's a system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing, I have a caller in the queue. I'm going to come right to you, caller. I just wanted to share this. You think that being a senior, you are seasoned and you have this wisdom and you're in this place where this is going to be a piece of cake, this is going to be easy, okay? But I found, for me, I hadn't been married in a while. It was a long time, actually. I was raising 6 children and the years just went by. And no one really just showed up in my life that made me comfortable enough to take that step with the large family. So I was just patient, and I worked, and I went to school, and I worked in the community, and time just flew by. So what I found, even at this age and getting married, is that getting married, I had to face myself, you know, and I had to face tender spots and sensitive spots that I was still carrying that I didn't know I was still carrying until they came up. So I thank Allah that my husband is patient enough and kind enough to sometimes just shake his head and let that happen, you know, but trusting that, okay, you know, I'll find my way to what Allah wants of me, you know, and you have to meet yourself where you are and know that it is 100% probability there is some changing and growing that has to still take place even later in life. It's a necessary process. There is no stop growing. There is no stuck in your ways or I'm too old to change. You still are going to change, grow, evolve, and expand even later in life. So be ready for that. Okay, we're going to go to our caller and welcome them to the show. We're going to 773-449. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Samir Mishahid. I'm just going to say I so appreciate every time I hear this show. I so appreciate you all, Sister Sabina, because you're so thorough in what you deliver to us, and the story you just shared about yourself, Sister Manira, I can relate to that, especially when you have children and you're trying to do this by yourself. It kind of pulls your attention away from yourself, so you miss a lot. And the thing, for the most part, that you all have shared here, I never heard that. So it's like a new development for me, and I'm asking Allah to help me to be comprehensible in what you're saying and own it and to live it. But it's just a beautiful thing that this show is here. It's here for us to learn and to grow and just, you know, ask Allah for the kind of life that we want now that we got the information or getting the information that we need to make us a better person, to be in a better relationship, you know, as far as marriage and the appropriate steps to take, you know, and getting married. And we can't change the past, so we can have some say-so about the present and the future going forward if we align ourselves with the way Allah say do things, you know. So I just want to say I just really appreciate you and Sister Bina and what you bring to your program, and asking Allah to help me to be a better person, that I can show up, that maybe one day things will change for me, but right now, I'm just trying to comprehend it so I can incorporate it in my life, you know. So I just say thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. And thank you for being a part of the show and calling in and for being here with us to share, because what you share is also very helpful. And we have another caller, Bina. We're going to go to 727-741. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. And Martha Naila Abdullah here. I haven't called in a long time. I've just been listening, just absorbing it, right? But calling from Florida. I'm just going to give the whole state, Florida. And
okay.
I unconsciously, and like you say, you know, something we share may help someone else as well. Wow, nothing is perfect but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just when we think we have it all in the bag, ready. Yeah, yeah, Bina, I remember you and Adam. I was there at the, August 2013. But alhamdulillah, So wonderful, so wonderful, your connection. And then DeLacy and Manera, praise be to Allah. I can't say enough. And now on to me. Thinking that I was in safe water, you know, married to, you know, my husband, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the benefit of him to him, meaning my husband, to have him transition, which unconsciously I thought I would be first. But I now know how boiled, if I can say, I had become, or how I had computed in my life that, you know, he took care of everything pretty much, so I didn't have anything to worry about. And truly, seeking to be married again was not a part of my radar. But then being thrust into it and knowing that I truly just love the company. I love married life. I love the process. But I didn't know these particulars, all right? Yes, these particulars. And so, Neera, you have firsthand knowledge of being my being thrown into something, and then my Wiley say, you left me in the, I left my Wiley in the lurch, like not seeking the particulars. So all of that, because I'm coming from the yesterday. You know, once a person make an approach, I'm thinking already I'm married. Whoa. I mean, whoa, horses, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, nothing terrible about the person. It was me that had to recognize that, listen, everything is not just the way you used to know it to be. Take your time. Put your particulars in place, because there's particulars that I didn't have in place. And didn't realize that was important to someone else. But anyway, praise be to Almighty God. It's a lesson that you said, Manera. Please, by all means, have our self-document. You know, I've had them in place before, but, you know, time just passed, and I'm retired. So work was where I had my life insurance and all that good stuff. You know, in your will, you sit and do your last testament and all that. But alhamdulillah, I'm just sharing that so anyone else listening on, and don't put it out the picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send. And here's another thing. Others will make an approach, but not a direct one. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, am I to go towards that? Am I to? I'm not going to waste a Wiley's time on this person just making an innuendo.
Right.
You know? So, alhamdulillah. Right. I'll just leave it right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. And Sister Martha, what you said was very vital, you know, and don't waste your time on indirect approach. Let the Wali, you know, if they want to talk to your Wali, then you know whether they're serious or not. If they don't want to talk to the Wali, okay, see ya. You know that they're not really ready, or ready to enter into a courtship. So have the Wali ready, and just ask them, "Would you like to talk to my Wali?" That way, they know you have a Wali, and they know you mean business. You know,
that's exactly what I was going to suggest. Yes, have one on standby. For those things, because sometimes we don't know if a person is, you know, actually reaching out or not. And that person might not even know if they're reaching out or not, but they might be interested. And, yeah, have one on standby.
And when you ask them that question, that's going to be the time for them to decide, do I go forward, or am I serious, or – you know, should I talk to the Wiley? You know, the best defense is offense. You know?
I mean.
Yeah, I mean. So, alhamdulillah. So we protect ourselves.
Thank you.
And we protect our time and our investments. And your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, all of that is an investment. And it's not to be trifled with. So all praise is due to Allah. You know? Thank you for calling in, Martha, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. You know, so please press one, callers, and go out of the queue so we can recognize you if you'd like to come back into the queue. So would either of you like to have any comments on anything that's been said or shared? And Brother Adam, I still have you on the line. So if you have any comments about anything that's been shared or said, please feel free.
Oh, I'm good. I made my contribution to it. Have one on standby, like you have an attorney on standby. You can have an accountant on standby. You can have a Wally on standby. You can have all these folks on standby, because we should be anticipating the fact that life does go on, and these things can happen at any time, especially when you're not expecting it. You know, just like an accident, it happens. Just like when you're not expecting it. So, you know, it's good to be prepared.
And, you know, Bina, one thought that I was kind of formulating, we had been talking that term marriage success team that we got out of Dr. P. Anissa's Nadir's book, Having a Marriage Success Team. It would be great if our masjids and centers had marriage support teams that would include someone that was legally fluent in wills and trusts and estate planning, on marriage contracts, and on arbitration, so that when it's time for the nikah in our centers, we have access to people who can help with these services. And it could take a lot off of the imam to have professionals at the masjid or involved in the masjid or outreach from the masjid to help with these services, because it's a part of us tying our camel. It's a part of us tying our camel. And even a education department, you know, to have marriage education prior to getting married, to have this whole support system in place. And this is one of the ways that we create success. It's too much for one imam to handle. It's too much for two or three imams to handle this on staff, if we're going to do it correctly and make sure that we are have our legal concerns addressed, our estate concerns addressed, our financial concerns addressed, and have all these things addressed prior to marriage. And the mediator, because having an exit strategy is also a part of our religion. Allah instructs us on what is to happen in the event of death. In the event of dying, the husband should bequeath 1 year's maintenance minimum to his spouse. That's an exit strategy. Okay? In the event of divorce, according to their means, there should be some type of maintenance to and provisions provided, an exit strategy. So in the contract, in the marriage contract, there should be also an exit strategy. While you love each other and looking forward to this wonderful relationship, while you're happy, to have this in place so that it's clear, you know, as to what the exit strategy is. Will you follow the dictates that Allah has given in our Holy Quran? You know, in the event of death, will there be at least 1 year's maintenance bequeathed? If you have moved into their home, will you have to pack up and leave right away, or will you have a certain amount of time to be there? How does that look? You know, so when we're thinking Islamically, you see that Allah secures us and have us secure ourselves at every step of the way. You know, reducing future obligations, obligations in a future period of time, reduce them to writing. Enter into a contract. Fulfill all contracts. Have an exit strategy. Bequeath maintenance in the event of death. Have a waiting period before divorce to seek a resolution. But if you're firm for, and there are rulings about different caveats that may occur in relationships, okay, so we have to look at things from all angles and all aspects, things in our contracts, because these things are in our Holy Quran. So will we bind our contract by what's in the Holy Quran? It's very, very, very important that we do that. We have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to the caller at 706-289. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Muhammad, from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And just like you said, the information feedback that you get from the audience is very important, because I've been watching this observation of our community, and I know here in Georgia, I'm in Alabama, and I stay in very contact with quite a few people, and I know that our children and many of our adults don't use the chaperone guidance that Allah gives us in the Quran, in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, because of economics maybe, or maybe because we are so distracted. And believe it or not, it's mostly our educated and well-to-do Muslim members who have established that in their parenting, and inshallah, we pray so that it killed their children's heart, because of the good parenting protection that they give the children and a good Islamic environment that they have. But we have to be mindful that we have teen pregnancy. We have a lot of remarriaging, double marriaging. We're going off into a lot of having more than one wife, because the guidance from a lot of using this chaperone screening and monitoring and duas, our people are not even in tune with it. They talk about it. They know about it. But if you go and stand around the different masjids around the country that you have the opportunity to visit, you'll see that most of our community members, maybe even under 50 and down, it's a small percentage. It's probably around 15 to 20% of them who are in better economical situations, so that they can appreciate what Allah is doing for them, and they're able to respond to it because of good parenting, good environment, maybe even good imams where they're at. But we have this problem. You know, at UNW Muhammad High School and other schools and everything around, that you know, there's a kind of promiscuous experience, what they call it. I can't pronounce that word. But our children are following the guidance of this world here, and they seem like they have no time to put in finding a proper mate. So the information that we're receiving that you're talking about today is wonderful. But we have to remember that we have to encourage our imams and our parents who themselves probably got married without a chaperone, and Muhammad Allah had preserved their good intentions and their marriage is working. But we are spending so much time still being influenced by this dunya or specifically our Christian background of the last 100 or 2 years. It's still making us not look to what Allah is offering us on a community level because we don't have the community life. We don't have a real community where our children will pay attention from a parental level and they have amongst their own peers the respect for what Allah has made halal, what Allah has made sacred, if they want to be successful in having a proper marriage. A proper relationship that will last and continue to produce believing Muslims, not just Muslims, but believing Muslims who are not distracted by this world, you know, like we see at Eid time. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that because you have to keep it factual. You have to keep it, like Allah says, this could be our last day. So that's the type of dhikr and taqwa we have to have. If we're going to get and deliver the real message to those who really need it.
Yes.
I just want to say that.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. Allahu Akbar. And, you know, we have to look at things from all sides. But I would just like to take a small issue that we can't say that this is happening with all of our children because it is not. We have to travel and see what communities are doing and where the successes are. And there are many successes and many successful communities. We were just in Atlanta. DeLacy and I went to the 65th anniversary gala in Atlanta. And it was so wonderful to see all the young married couples who have, especially those who have come through Imam Wafdi Muhammad High School and gone to college and in their careers, and they have married each other and are producing wonderful, wonderful things. And the theme of family and education is so strong from what we saw, you know, that it was just really infectious. It was just really infectious. And this is happening at other areas of the country, too. But what this tells me is that when we invest in the community life and we invest in educating our children and creating this womb of development for them, as they have in Atlanta and other areas, we have a better chance for our children to be protected and elevated in a way where the society around them does not take them under. And this is happening. So we don't want to ever say that this is not happening or give the impression that, you know, this is happening with all of our children because it is not. As Brother Mark Shaheed would always say, the generality is not the reality. We can't make general comments, but it does not give the true picture of what is taking place. So we have to build on the successful models that we see. And the more we know, the better we do. The more we invest in education, the better prepared we are for the future. So investing in the education and do and making sure the information is there for us to do better, for us to know better, is very, very, very important. And I'm going to say one more thing about getting married, and maybe we can pick back up on this next week, you know, but we have to look at some of the different rulings when it comes, we're talking about exit strategies, the different rulings that there have been Islamically that govern divorce. We have to educate ourselves on these matters, okay, and know what those rulings are so that we are not blindsided, so we know what we're going into. Just like you have to learn something about real estate to buy a house. You don't just go and buy a house without knowing anything about real estate. If you know nothing, you're going to hire the people that do know so that you can buy a home. Okay? We don't go into matters that are huge in our lives in a blind way, not knowing anything about it. So this gets back to us being educated and educating ourselves and have the people in the community and attached to the community through maybe outreach departments that have studied and know the ins and outs of different situations so that we can make the best decision for ourselves and so we can secure ourselves. As Allah has illustrated to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has illustrated to us in our Holy Quran on numerous occasions that we tie our camel, that we secure ourselves, and that we think in terms of security for ourselves and our Muslim ummah. It's not something that we don't protect. We protect it. You know, so it is very important. So I would encourage people to look up, go to a website, and it gives rulings, different rulings on divorce and things that we should know, because it's not just a one-size-fits-all. There are different caveats, as I said before, that apply to divorce. You know, whether there has been consummation of a marriage or not consummation, or, you know, what has to take place, what doesn't have to take place. So things like that, just read those things and you'll get some clarity on it. And even knowing those things helps us to be in a better position to go into a marriage to be successful. So we have to look at things from all angles, from all sides. So I just wanted to make that comment. And I'm sorry, callers, if we have any callers left. We have a caller left in the queue, but please jot down your information and we'll try and get back with you next week on our next show. And you can email it to us as well, and we can cover it at halaqa360 on at yahoo.com. So, Bina, Adam, any final comments for you this evening?
I just want to say well said to your response in terms of our ummah. And you're right, I do see much improvement in our children and the community, and especially in Atlanta. And there are other places as well. And where they don't really have a community, I see where the adults are working their best with educating their children and bringing them up in Islamically. So that's not their fault if their community is not there, but they're doing the best with what they have, inshallah. And then beyond that, I'd just like to say, Rabbana atayna fi dunya hasanatan wa fi akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. May Allah grant us with good in this life and in the next life, and protect us from the hellfire. Amen.
So, Brother Adam, anything you wanted to say? You're still here with us?
I'm listening in, and no, I don't have anything else to say. But,
okay, alhamdulillah.
If you get any emails on any particular questions from anyone, just let me know, and I'll try to answer.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here with us. All right. So we'll be back here next week, and we can pick back up on the last segment that we talked about, the different rulings on divorce, because we should have certain things in our contracts about how things can end and what we agree on going into a relationship. This keeps matters clear, expectations are known, and helps us to tie our camel and feel and be more secure in our relationships, inshallah. So we're going to end our program for this evening, and we are going to encourage you to listen to our Wednesday morning program, which is on AM360 every Wednesday morning. And that program is right here.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Join The Female Solutions presentation every Wednesday morning right here on AM360. And we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out this evening. So please take a listen.
Oh. What made him brave enough to go out and face the world? A country man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here. Loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Making a life believe,
loving
a creature of fear, performing dry tears,
fearing
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world,
go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to me. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners. Poor squires are winning. Fearing thee. So I made him brave enough to go.
Loving
thee. Loving thee. Made him brave enough to go.
Fearing thee.
What made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man did, came up from the rear.
Loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing,
never caught him up. Things went over down. Firmly, maybe they
all I know to be.
making a life for thee. Oh, 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 oh yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
Country man dear, came up from the rear.
Loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Four squares of winning, fearing thee, is what made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, we fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you for being here with us this evening, and we look forward to you coming back next week. And please bring a friend, inshallah, and join us as we take a journey on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. So on behalf of myself and our co-host, Sabrina Muhammad Pia, we leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum.